So, 2 Corinthians, it's funny because much of what Tish talked about today, much about what we've been talking about the last several Sundays, is what we're going to be talking about today. God loves others through us. Really, it is the message of the cross. That not only that we are loved, but that because we are loved, we love others. Tish showed a picture up here. She said, this isn't something we often see here. And it was this ox in the middle of the road. I don't know about you. I often see dumb oxes in the road. It's very difficult to navigate around them. We're going to talk today about loving others the way God sees us. In chapter 5, verse 20, it says this, therefore, and we're going to talk about therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We're going to kind of tear this chapter apart. I'm going to do it a little differently. I'm going to go back up because whenever we see the word therefore, it's important to know what the therefore is there for. So we're going to go all the way back to verse 16. We no longer regard people according to flesh. Therefore, there's another therefore. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. When we look at other people, and this really is the message of the cross, how is it that we view them? A lot of times how we view them is colored in many different ways. If it's someone that we love and respect, we see them, as they say, through rose-colored glasses. They can do no wrong. What they do, what they say, how they act, we tend to give them miles of grace. Even if they were to say something that was a little bit off, we tend to overlook it because of the love, respect, or admiration we might have for someone. And that love and respect and admiration can come because of who they are in relation to us as far as a family or a friend. It could come because of a job they hold, such as a pilot or a physician or something along those lines. It could come because of an office that they hold, a president, a vice president. It is amazing to me sometimes in my life that I have heard people criticize a president, and then actually, when given the opportunity, we'll go and meet that president and all googly-eyed because, oh my goodness, it's the president. And it draws this contradiction. We say, well, I'm not meeting the president, I'm meeting the person in office. All these things can color our perspective of who someone is. But those are all the wrong reasons for those coloring of perspectives. In fact, what the Bible is saying and what it is saying here is that we are no longer to regard people according to the flesh, not who they are in relation to us, not because of a job they do, not because of a position they hold, but because of who they are in Christ or who they could potentially be. We have a view of others based on one thing, and what Paul is saying here is we should have a view of them based on who Christ is. Not because of who they are or what they've done or a position they hold, but because Christ created them, because he loved them, and he cared for them. This is a very difficult thing, and I should start out with a caveat saying this whole series, as short as it is one that is very difficult to teach, because we all have moments when we don't care for the person standing in front of us. If you've ever flown an airline that has lost your luggage, if you've ever flown on an airline that has bumped you off or put you next to or in front of or behind of or anywhere near a screaming child, any of these things, and you go and you say, look, there was this problem, the person behind that desk is trained to do two things: smile and make you think they care about you when they really could care less or couldn't care less. They're just there to smile and push you along, get out of my face, move along, and it's frustrating because you know that's what they're doing. Well, thank you for that input. They don't care. They see that 500 times a day. Or when you're at the grocery line, and they say, well, how are you today? Like the person checking out your grocery really cares how you are today. Try it sometimes. Say, well, you know, I'm sorry, but I have gangrene in my left leg, and they're going to amputate it this afternoon. They're going to say, that's nice. In fact, it's funny because I'll ask Pastor Hall, Pastor Hall, how are you doing? He says, oh, I'm terrible. I'm like, oh, that's good. It's kind of a thing with pastors. And it is very difficult. I mentioned last week about, you know, actually stopping and looking someone in the eye. And then if they say something like, you know, I'm not doing well, then you have their attention. They've got yours. You can say, I'm sorry. What can I pray for? But be careful. Because if somebody is looking you in the eye and they ask you how you are, and you say, I'm fine, and you're not, it will show in your face. They will know immediately that you are lying. And I'm one of those few people that will say, oh, so we're just going to lie today, are we? If you ask me, Pastor, how are you? And I'm not well, I don't say I'm doing fine, thank you. I say I am peachy. If you have a hold of my hand and you say, Pastor, how are you? And I say peachy, that means a little less than fine. Whether or not you choose to pursue that is at your own risk, as it is with everyone we meet. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it goes on. It explains this a little more. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And this is what we need to see in people, whether or not they're at this spot. Behold, if anyone is in Christ, if you look at the person sitting next to you, and please don't do that, you have no idea whether that person is saved or unsaved. Oftentimes, I hear people in my office who have no idea for themselves whether or not they are saved. Salvation is between an individual and God. We should treat everyone as Christ would treat them. When we are doing that, we are being, as it says in 5:20, ambassadors for Christ. We are being his representatives on earth, showing his love. There is no way that we can actually share the love of God with someone if we don't take the time to talk to them. If we don't slow down enough to give them 5 seconds of our time to shake their hand or to talk to them. My son and I think it was John and I, we were at the grocery store the other day. I think it was Tish and I. They look so much alike. And this woman looked more forlorn. You couldn't act this sad. Hi, how are you? And I mean, couldn't be any slower either. And so I asked her, I said, well, how are you? Okay. If you've seen that movie Inside Out by, I think it's DreamWorks. If you haven't seen that movie, you've got to see it. It's great. It's all about emotions. And if nothing else, take your wife to see it. You can get it on demand or at the video store now. But she just looked so sad. I said, well, how was your Thanksgiving? Oh, it was okay. And I mean, she just looked so sad. I tried so hard to strike up a conversation, to just get something out of her. But you know, you're in line for a short time and we didn't get that many things. So I don't know. But everyone has an opportunity to try. Everyone here goes to the doctor. Everyone here at some point, at some day in your week, sees someone that you don't normally see. Or maybe you do normally see them. But just to ask the question, how was your week? And let them know. I'm not asking just like every other patient that comes in your office or every other person that stands in your line. I really want to know. Try this on one person this week. Please try it. Is there something I can pray for you about this week? Ask someone that you work with. Be careful with that because of our laws. Ask your waiter or your waitress. Ask if you're flying the person behind the counter, someone at the Quickie Mart, someone at the grocery store, someone at the doctor. Preferably not someone you just flipped off as you pass them on the road. There's got to be a consistency there, but just say, is there something I can pray for you about this week? You will be amazed. In fact, we tried it. Someone gave us this challenge last year. They said, we always ask our waiter or waitress, is there something we can pray for you about? And they said, we've never had someone say no. And so we actually have tried that a few times. I'm not as consistent as I would like to be. But one time in particular, we asked someone, is there something we can pray for you about? She said, no, I'm good. And she left. I'm like, oh, well, that's a bummer. And then she came back and said, you know, there is something. Everyone needs prayer. Let's talk about therefore. When you're reading scripture, therefore is so important. It's why I didn't just teach on 5:20. When you look at chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, it is such a packed chapter. I could teach a year just on this chapter. When you see therefore, it's important to look and see why therefore is therefore. Go back and look at the verse or the verses. In this case, you keep going, you'll run into another therefore and then another therefore. And Paul is trying to say, because of who God is, therefore you should emulate that. Because of who God is, you have been transformed in who you are. Therefore, you should be reaching others for Christ. Therefore, And it goes on and on and on, and he's building on each one. And so it's important to go backwards and look at that and see why they are there. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, that hadn't really hit me before. So God reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And then he gave us the ministry. By the way, the word for ministry in the Greek is what word? Anyone know? Well, it's the same word where we get deacon from. Deaconia is literally, he reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he has appointed each of us deacons that we would go out and reconcile others to God through Christ. He literally uses this word. He gave us the ministry. He gave us the responsibility. He gave us the duty or the charge that we are to lead others through to Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. You're not Billy Graham, that's certain. But that doesn't mean you're not an evangelist. Everyone is an evangelist. Some people have a gift of evangelism. For whatever reason, they'll say purple and 10 people will get saved. Don't get it. I could say purple and 10 people become Muslim. It's, why does this happen? We don't know. Some people have a gift of evangelism, but all of us have a responsibility to evangelize. But it's not as hard as you think. Think about our society today. We go back 100 years. We don't have lights. We don't have all the hustle and bustle. Most people didn't have cars. You're literally driving around in a horse and a buggy. You've got a little town center. Church is there. School is there. Town meetings are there. The people that you run into are people that you need. Somebody has chickens that lay eggs. You need eggs? You're not going to go to the barber. Not unless he takes payment in chickens. You're going to go over to the person who has chickens and get your eggs. If you need beef, you're going to go to the person who has beef for sale. Whatever it is you need, you have to have a relationship with that person. We don't have that now. If we need something, we go to Kroger. If I get sick, I have a headache, I can go and I can go to Kroger and get that taken care of. Very few things are things that we need to go to someone for because we need something. It's one of the neat things that I enjoy about. We have a dentist in our body, Dr. Thielen, and I like, believe it or not, going to the dentist. He actually usually doesn't cause me much pain. Some of his people that work on my teeth from time to time do. But I get to know him because I need him. I need that relationship. That is the relationship that we should have with more people. We should take the time to get to know the person who washes your dog or trims your dog hair, the person that mows your lawn. Try going to the same person when you go to Kroger. Find the one that is the meanest, rottenest, slowest checker and pick that person. And each time you go to Kroger, as you go through that line, just say to that person, is there something I can pray for you about this week? And next week? And next week? And eventually, you're going to make a connection and she's going to see you as someone she needs or he needs to make that connection. In fact, it's amazing. How many of you, before you came to this church, knew Pat Nolan? So there's some hands around. Come on, if you knew Pat. Because Pat hugs everyone that walks through the grocery store door. Or at least he says hello and shakes their hand. They know when they leave Meijer that someone at Meijer loves them. Meijer Corporate does not care if people leave their store feeling loved. Meijer's Corporate only cares how much they spent while they were there. What they don't know is that he is the key to how much people spend in that store. Because I know people who shop at Meijer because Pat works at Meijer. And somebody cares about them at that store. We know if you know someone who works at a car dealership, if you like that person, you're going to go there and buy a car. If you don't like that person, you're going to go somewhere else and buy that car. Same with realtors. Same with loan people. Same with whoever handles our business. It's the same when we're sharing Jesus Christ with people. If they don't know that we love them, if they don't know that we care about them, if we're just one more person on the street, why do they want to hear what we have to say? We are so afraid of these refugees that are coming to our country. Really, 10,000 come, and we have 365 million people, most of them armed, I'm sure, in some way. 10,000 aren't a threat for the most part, although there's a lot of arguments. When we were in Southern California, our community was 73% Hispanic. 70% of them were undocumented, illegal aliens, however you want to label them. So I hired a pastor from Mexico City, and yes, he was undocumented. I know, I'm a sinner. I repented. I got in so much trouble over that. People are like, how can you hire a pastor? He's not even legal here. I said, wait a minute. I can hire an American, a gringo, and send him to Mexico City. And it'll take him years to reach someone for Christ. Or I can recognize the fact that Mexico City is in Lake Los Angeles. And I can hire someone who uses their dialect, eats their food, knows their customs, and cares about their souls, and I can reach dozens in a year. I said, so crucify me, I'll justify that. And that's what we did. Now, I will tell you that one day we were singing a song, and the worship pastor at the church, Nan, sang it half in English and half in Spanish. And I loved that. I'm okay with Spanish. I was raised in Southern California, otherwise known as Northern Mexico. A gentleman in our church got up, voiced his disapproval very loudly, and stormed out of the church. When I went to see him later that week, I thought he was going to hit me. The only thing that probably prevented it was because of my size. I think I kind of intimidated him. But he had a lot to say. And as I read this, I thought, you know, of all things, he was a mailman. Think of the lives that he could have touched if he made a relationship with the people on his route. What an opportunity lost. Before that, he had gone to that church like 13 years. And so I pray still for him. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's committed this to us. He did this for a purpose. You were saved by design. We already know you were created by design. The Bible says that before the foundations of the earth were, he knew you. And the word there for knew actually means has a pre-existing relationship with you. Not that you existed in some spirit baby body somewhere, but that God knew before he created the world that he was going to create you. And he knew everything there ever was to know. He knew every word you would say, every sin you would commit, every triumph that you would tackle. He knew it all and saw so much value there that he created you by design. In your mother's womb, he knit you together. And he did it for a purpose. You were not only created by a design, but you were saved by design, and here is that design. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You were saved by design that you would reconcile others to God through Christ. And one way to do that, and perhaps the most important way, is not to count the trespasses of others against them. The Bible says if you have an offense against someone, leave your gift at the altar and go to them and reconcile. Otherwise, your gift is no good. The sacrifice is useless. The Bible says if there's a problem that you have with someone, go and make it right. It doesn't mean if you don't like someone and they don't even know it, don't go and say, hey, by the way, I've hated you for 15 years. You just didn't know that. Just give it to God. Let him work it out. Don't dump that mess on someone else. But if you have treated someone badly and they know that and you've done it and you did it on purpose, you need to go to them and say, you know, I did this, and I'm sorry. I was wrong. Leave your gift at the altar. Go and make it right. Come back and offer a sacrifice to God. And so often, instead, we take the easy way out. We cannot count others' trespasses against them. We say it in the Lord's Prayer every time. We say it, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And if God were to hold us to that prayer, we're in trouble. Forgive us as we forgive others. Which means if we're not forgiving others, we're telling God, then don't forgive us. It's important the words we say. And yet, therefore, because he have done all these things, because he didn't count our trespasses against us, and yet reconciled us to the Father through the Son, he has put this into our lap. He says, therefore, we are to be ambassadors for Christ. This is a high-ranking official who comes under the authority of the king. The ambassadors to other countries, if there's a problem, the president will call the ambassador and say, I want you to go and speak to that king's ambassador. I want you to work this out. Or go to that king and talk to them. You have my authority, my power, my words. Go and do my bidding. And this is what God is saying to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us. So God is saying, look, I am begging people to get saved. And we know this to be true. He says, I'm begging people to get saved, and I'm doing it through you. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't know God. A question often asked of me is, Pastor, when I pray, does God hear my prayers? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you don't, the answer is no. God hears only one prayer from an unsaved person, and that is the prayer of repentance, requesting salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, be reconciled to Him. Be reconciled to God through Him for the purpose of reconciling this lost and dying world. Going back to the refugees, since this is such a hot topic, there is a way to look at the refugees other than as a threat. It's why I brought up Lake LA and the Hispanic population. We can look at them as a mission field. We have an opportunity to love the people we meet. It's really hard. When I look at social media, a lot of the memes that come out are funny. I think they're funny. Would a lost person think they're funny? Would another saved person who holds a differing view think they're funny? Or would you risk offending someone, driving a wedge between a brother or sister? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, don't do that. You're my ambassador. Act according to my will. Speak my words and do my bidding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to teach about love, the love that you have for each of us. The love that you have, that you would search us out, that you would create us, that you would design us, that you would save us with a purpose. Father, as we leave here today, help us to know that you are the God who created us. Father, I pray for any that are unsaved here. Lord, that they would seek me out, that they would seek out the person next to them, and pray that prayer with that person. Father, truly, you are an amazing and a mighty God. Help us never to pass up that opportunity. Put at the front of our minds today that every person that we run into this week has lost someone, is missing someone, is out of money, out of food, behind on a house payment. Maybe their lives on the outside seem perfect. But Father, if they don't know you, there is something missing. And help us show them what that is. With a smile, with a look, with a touch, whatever it may be. Help us reach the world. One person at a time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.